Are you ready?
Coming at you. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. Tammy, we're coming at you live and unedited from the Amp Radio studios in California. Sans the great Marco, sans the great Proteus. It's just the great Pam and myself today because there are too many darn cards. Everyone forgot about solo. These cards, but sorry?
Not I. I said solo tú y yo tonight.
Solamente tú y yo, Pammy. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We go to Abu Dhabi. We go, Pammy, because that's the apparently the place they can hold fights, apparently, right?
Yeah.
UFC Fight Island. I don't know what this one is. Let's just call it Fight Island number 2, 3, 4. I don't know. Will take place, of course, this Saturday, Pammy, at the Flash Forum Arena, whatever you want to call it, on Yaz Island, Abu Dhabi, headed by, of course, Davison Figueiredo and, of course, Joseph Benavidez. Boy, somehow I think we've seen this fight before. It's just me. I don't know. I think I've seen this fight in the last year. And how many chances are we going to keep giving Joseph Benavidez, Pammy? But we're going to find that out right now. Let's meet the host, the beautiful Pam, who, by the way, your photos are just, you're looking more and more beautiful every day, Pammy. Let's do this ready. On the count of three, hit it.
It is just you and I tonight. It's kind of like a private show, right? That's what we're doing. We're doing a private show. The Pam and Tony show. The pony show
because everyone else has forgotten about it. So let's get into it, Pammy. We're going to go
from
the bottom.
All righty.
Well, I think too many darn cards. And then we'll talk about the fights in a bit. But let's get into it. Let's start off with the main event. We go, Pammy.
All righty.
Davison Figueiredo, your boy, your countryman, a whole 5'4", Pammy. 32 years young, 125 pounds, allegedly, if he can make it. 68-inch reach at 18-1, and he will fight Joseph Benavidez, 28-6, 35 years young. And honestly, I think he's gotten way too many chances at this. 5'3", 125, you know he'll make weight. 65-inch reach. Pammy, I go to you. Will it be Davison Figueiredo at the favorite, by the way, at a minus 210? Or will it be Joseph Benavidez at a plus 175?
All right. I have to actually give a shout out to Joseph Benavidez Jiu-Jitsu. He is from my hometown. He's from Las Cruces, where I'm from. He actually
he's from South
knows
Powell?
My cousins, and he's from Las Cruces.
No, I know, but you're
big
Brazilian. I know, but you're such a big Brazilian fan. Shout out to Joseph Benavidez from Las Cruces,
and he's kind of like, you know, part of the, he's kind of familia. You know, he's kind of familia. He's Benavidez. We're Benavidez. Hangs out with my cousin. So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He trains at their gym in Las Cruces. But you know what? We've seen this fight before, and the one thing that has me concerned is Davison going to make weight. So are we doing another fight, or is he going to make weight? But you know what? I think he has a big head, and I wonder if that big head of his is one of the reasons that he can't make weight. He's cabezudo, is he not?
He does have a large noggin.
Cranium.
Sure.
Yeah, he's got a pretty large cranium. But you know what? Truthfully, I see this going the way it did the first time. I think it's going to end at another TKO. Davison Figueiredo. How do you say Figueiredo, right? Figueiredo?
Yeah.
Figueiredo?
You got it right.
Five round. I'm going to give Benavidez just a little bit of a chance. I think it's going down in the third round TKO, Davison.
You know, I don't disagree with you. The only thing is, I don't know if I don't think Joseph's chin is gone, right? I don't. The problem is he weighs 125, and he does. Mm-hmm. He's getting older. I don't think he's going to be finished. I could be wrong, but I do. Figueiredo makes weight, and it goes right. I think it's going to be a long fight for him.
Let me ask you this. I don't mean to cut you off, but I have to, before I lose my train of thought, what happens again if he doesn't make weight? Then what? We keep having this fight over and over and over till he makes weight?
No, I think obviously they have to find someone new. So I think if he doesn't make weight, and I think if Joseph Benavidez loses again, I think they give it to two others, give a chance to someone else. You know, maybe Juicy Formiga, Pantoja, who the heck knows. But how long can you keep having this, right? I mean, we've seen this fight before, and not too long ago, right? I mean, we've seen this fight.
Yeah, right. It was February. It was 6 months ago.
Yep, February
29th. 5 months ago. Yeah, because when I saw the card, I'm like, hold up. What is that, Groundhog Day? Is this Groundhog Day? But let me put a disclaimer in there. Even though I'm picking Davidson, if Joseph were to win, my feelings would not be hurt.
Me too, only because everybody else picks him. So shout out to Joseph Benavidez. Am I? Sorry, I don't mean to.
Yeah, you keep crying. I'm hearing like every other word, like you're, I don't know, like a robot or something.
Maybe I am a robot, Pam, and we just don't know about it.
This is not anything against anybody, but this is kind of fun, just the two of us.
We can make it if we try,
right? Yeah, there you go.
Well, hopefully our audio holds up, Pammy, because the choppiness, I don't know where that's coming from, so hopefully it holds up. Yeah, I'm going to take Figueiredo via decision, believe it or not. I don't think it's going to go there.
Really?
I just can't see. You know what? I can't see. You know what? He fights once a year, maybe twice a year max. I say Davidson Figueiredo. Actually, I'm changing my pick. I don't think he has the cardio for it, so I think he's going to end it quickly. I'll take Davidson Figueiredo again in the second round, TKO. I think he doesn't have the cardio. I think he has to finish it quickly. Speaking of big heads, Pammy, we go to your favorite, the middleweight division. We go talk about someone that has a big head that couldn't make weight for a while. Not Jack. Not him, but your boy, Pammy. And I say this with all due respect. Melvin Gastelum. The one thing that you cannot say anything bad about Kelvin is that he doesn't try, right? I mean, he tries, heavy hitter, but he's going up against Jack the Joker Hermanson. And Hermanson, Pammy, at 20-5 is no joke. 32 years young.
No, he's not.
He's a lot taller than your boy Kelvin. 185, of course, 77.5-inch reach. He is, by the way, Pammy, dead even. They're both at a -110, dead even.
Is this considered a pick'em then?
Pick'em, yeah. He will fight your boy, 16-5, Kelvin Gastelum, 16-5-1, by the way. We forgot about that one. Who, of course, can't stay away from the sticky icky. And a 71-inch reach, so he's losing 6 inches. That's what she said. And not only in height, but I'm being facetious, but in reach. Pammy, we go to the first lady of Amp Radio. Pammy, will it be Kelvin Gastelum or will it be Jack Hermanson? Sorry.
You know what? It kind of feels like Jack Hermanson just kind of like came out of nowhere. He was, everybody was like, who the fuck is that guy? And then all of a sudden he was there. This guy, am I right? He is no joke. 32, 6'1" with a 77.5-inch reach, 11 KOs. 5 subs and 4 decisions. He did lose to Jared Cannonier in a second round TKO, lost to Thiago Santos, first round TKO, and lost to Cesar Ferreira with the second round triangle choke. So, you know, he has a win over Chuck Ray. But you know what? Again, right? Again, I think that I always go back to is your fight resume. You have Kelvin Gastelum. Poor thing. All of 5'9", 28. This guy's still a baby. 71 and a half inch reach. He's got 6 KOs, 4 subs, 5 decisions. A loss to Darren Till. A loss to Israel Adesanya. A loss to Chris Weidman. A loss to Neil Magny way back in 2015, and a loss to Tyron Woodley way back in 2015. But again, wins over Ronaldo Souza, Michael Bisping, Tim Kennedy. Do you remember when he beat the shit out of Tim Kennedy? Johnny Hendricks. Remember we just beat down Johnny Hendricks. So again, I'm looking at his fight resume, and I think the issue that we have with Kelvin Gastelum, it's not that he is not good. He is very good, but he's kind of like Johnny Hendricks, where he's too small to be in there with the big guys, but he can't drop the weight to be in there with the smaller guys. So I think you said this is a pick'em. I think I'm going to go with Gastelum. I think he's got those two losses under his belt that I think is going to give him some drive to win. His boxing is just amazing for the size that he is. He has, I mean, the quickness of a featherweight. I mean, this dude, for being as big as he is and as,
he does,
you know, on the munchies as he is quick. He's quick. He has power. I'm going to go with Kelvin Gastelum. I'm picking, this is a three rounder.
Yes.
This is a three rounder. I'm picking Kelvin Gastelum. And you know what? I'm going to go kind of crazy. I'm going to pick him with the TKO. I'm going to give him a TKO in the, give me a second round TKO for Kelvin Gastelum.
Second round TKO, Pammy, going with Kelvin Gastelum. I second that, Pammy. I think he's going to finish Jack Hermanson early in the third. So I'm going Kelvin Gastelum early in the third because, again, I think it's going to be an issue of cardio for Kelvin. Let's keep going, Pammy. We're going to probably get to do the whole main event. So let's keep going. Hit it. To the lightweight division we go, Pammy. Mark Diakasi will fight Conor McGregor on this one. Who the F is that guy? You know what? I haven't heard how that name is pronounced, so my apologies. Mark Diakasi, of course, 14-3-0. He will fight on paper. It looks pretty good. 7-1. Rafael Fiziev, 27, both of them, by the way. Mark Diakasi at 5'8". Rafael, 1 inch shorter. 73-inch reach for Mark Diakasi. 71.5 for Rafael. Pammy, interestingly enough here, Mark Diakasi, of course, favorite at a -155, but not huge favorite over the newcomer to me, Rafael Fiziev. Pam, I go to you. Will it be Rafael Fiziev? I don't know if that's correct. Or Mark Diakasi?
All right, you know what? I have always been a Diakasi fan. I remember when he used to have that red streak in his hair. And he was on a streak. I mean, he was on a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 of 13, 14, like a 14-win streak. And then he ran into Drakkar Klose, Dan Hooker, and the other Kelvin Gastelum, Nasrat Harpsquat. I just murdered him. So, and then he was on a, and then he went on a lost three in a row, but then beat Joseph Duffy, and this is, he beat Lando Venata, Groovy Lando Venata, decision with the decision. And I think, I don't want to call Lando Venata a gatekeeper, but I think he is very underrated because Lando Venata is a crazy mother, you know what? He is a crazy fighter. So to get a unanimous decision over Lando, I think is saying something. I don't really know too much about Rafael Fiziev. Hang on. You know, I'm winging this fight right here because I didn't do it. Again, I don't know. He did beat one of the, not the OBs, but one of the EVs.
Magomed Mustafov.
Yeah, so he beat him. You know, He's a newcomer. This is his third fight in the UFC. I got to go with Mark Diakite. I'm taking him I'm picking him by decision.
You know, the interesting thing about this guy, they say this guy is like a mini Khabib. I don't know anything about Rafael, so I can't go with something I don't know. Right. I'm going to go with the known guy in Mark Diakite just because he is the favorite and I just don't know. And I think Diakite, though, he's a decisionator. I'm going with the decision over the newcomer. And he, obviously, this is his third fight in the UFC, so I don't know how many fights I've seen with him. I don't recall ever seeing this guy, but I'm going with Martin
He fought April 20th. His first UFC fight was Overeem and Olenek.
The second one
was Maya versus Askren.
Yeah, I obviously missed him somehow, some way. No diss on him. So shout out to Rafael. Let's keep going, Pammy. We got two more fights, and maybe we do a spotlight, but we certainly have to speak about Wednesday's fight. Let's go, Pammy.
All right, hang on. All right, here we go. All right, who's this? Ariane Lipsky and Luana Carolina?
Well, Pammy, we can't go there just yet. We have to hit... Pammy, I messed it up last week, but not messing up this week. To the women's flyweight division we go. Ariane Lipsky. Let's pause on that for a second. Thank you. She will take Luana Carolina. Ariane Lipsky, of course, at 12-5. Luana Carolina at 6-1, both about the same age, 26 for Lipsky, 27 for Carolina, 5'5" on both of them, 67-inch reach for Ariane Lipsky, 69, that's what she said,
woo!
For Luana Carolina.
69.
The odds on this, Pammy, believe it or not, kind of close. One could say maybe a pick'em, not really, but Ariane Lipsky, of course, at a minus 120, I think it's her fight to lose. Luana Carolina at a plus 100. Pam, I go to you. Will it be Luana Carolina or will it be Ariane Lipsky?
All right, so let me see. Ariane Lipsky, the violence queen, is coming off a win of Isabella de Padua. Let me look at Isabella de Padua. I have no clue who Isabella de Padua is. I know who she is. I know who she is. Isabella de Padua is the one that kind of rough looking, but she was coming off of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wins, and then she lost to Ariane a decision. So looking at her, hang on, let me go. See, now I got to go back to everywhere because this is I'm completely winging this one. And Luana Carolina,
by the way.
All right, Luana Carolina is riding a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 win streak. She's a decisionator also. I don't know too much about her. I don't know really too much about either of these. I know you like the other one, but lost to Meatball Molly, lost to Joanne Calderwood. I'm going to pick Luana Carolina, and I'm going to take her by, let me see, decision. I think it's going decision.
Not a bad, I mean, if you look at her, I mean, she was on Dana White's Contender Series and actually looks pretty good. If you look at Ariane Lipsky, though, before her losses to Joanne Calderwood is no joke, right? And Molly McCann is about as tough as they come. I'm going with Ariane Lipsky just because I know who she is and I definitely like the way she looks. Your countrywoman from Curitiba, by the way, Brazil. I'm going with Ariane and Lipsky, and I'm going with the decision because I think they're both decisionators. I know they both have had early KOs, but I don't know how that translates into the 125. Let's keep going, Pammy. We got one more, and then we could talk about the fight.
The
flyweight division we go. You want to do a spotlight?
Let's do spotlight.
All right, so let's go. Instead of... the flyweight, let's do a spotlight fight of the night. Pammy, I go to you. What is your spotlight fight of the night?
my Spotlight Fight of the Night, Brett Johns versus Montel. This is how we do it, Jackson.
I like that.
So
who are you choosing?
You like that? Of course I'm going with Montel Jackson. Watched him fight in when we were up in Raleigh earlier in January. That was my last live fight that I saw. So I got to keep the streak going. I am picking Montel Jackson, and I am going, man, you know what? This whole card is a bunch of decisionators. Let's see. What am I doing with this guy? Submission. I'm doing another decision. Isn't that boring? When have I ever picked more than one decision?
You're not one to go decisions, but unfortunately, that's, I think, where we are in this card, except for my Spotlight Fight of the Night, Pammy. To the lightweight division we go. And I don't know why Dobby Hamosh is on the undercard. I mean, he literally, if you look at the main card, he should be on the main card. But the Tasmanian Devil, Dobby Hamosh, a submission machine. Yeah, he lost a decision with Islam Makhachev, but that was a darn good fight. Before that, of course, on a four-fight win streak in the UFC. He's fighting Armand Sarkulian. Let's see the odds on this one, just to sort of give you your odds. By the way, Montel Jordan, -200 favorite over Brett Jones.
Oh, wow.
Forgive me. Okay. 170, so good pick on that one. Dobby Hamosh, the underdog, at +170. Armand Sarkulian at a -200. I'm going with Dobby Hamosh via submission in the second round. Dobby Hamosh, how do you get that, Pammy?
That looks like it's going to be a really good fight on paper. I mean, that's a really, really good fight. Now, why is it so low on the card?
I don't know. I mean, he's a proven commodity. You know, I guess it just goes to show that it's who you know, right? Pam, let's talk about Wednesday's fights, because that's something that we rarely have, our fights on a Wednesday. We did in the UFC, right? The fight we had on Wednesday happened to be, of course, on ESPN proper, and I'll tell you, there's a lot of eyes that are going in that. If you believe, of course, that UFC 251 did 1.3, this one apparently had pretty good numbers as well. Pam, let's talk about the main event. Calvin Kattar defeats Danny in what was really a rock'em sock'em fight, both of them coming out with a lot of damage. Pam, I go to you. What were your thoughts on Calvin Kattar defeating Dan Ige?
I think, well, let me tell you what. Let me give you a disclaimer. I actually fell asleep like the last round. I'd been up since like 5 o'clock, and I was beyond exhausted. And I was like, hey, the fights. I watched everything up to, I couldn't do it anymore. And then plus I was watching the fights in my bed with baby Godzilla laying on me. I'm in pajamas. Ooh, guy, I couldn't do it. And I remember waking up to turn the TV off because I was just exhausted. But I saw the results in the morning, and I was like, man, that was crazy. So, I mean, what I saw was crazy. I did see some good fights. I know we're not talking about this right now, but the Talia Santos and Molly McCann, that was a good fight.
Yeah.
So there were some pretty there were some pretty decent fights last night. Jimmy Rivera, that was a good fight too.
Well, let's talk about the fight that you did see, right? So Tim Elliott, of course, defeating Ryan Benoit via decision. I'll tell you, this was a long darn card, a long card.
It was. You know what? Yeah. It really was, because I was watching something, and it said, all right, we got 8 more to go. And I'm like, I didn't know. Am I dreaming this, or did you really say 8 more fights to go? I was like, holy cannoli, man, that's for a weekday. That was a lot of fights.
Labored.
I'm not complaining.
Yeah, fight of the night going to Munir Lazez and Abdul Razak.
Oh, that was insane.
I butchered that one.
That was crazy. We were tweeting, well, not tweeting, I was texting with Ramundo and Lerone and everybody about that fight. Were you in on that one too?
I was. Well, speaking of Lerone Murphy got performance of the night, 3 of them, by the way, given to Modesta, Stakas, and, of course, Kazmat Chimaev. Pam, let's go quickly on this fight. Let's go to the Jimmy Rivera, because both of them fighting out of their weight class, going up to featherweight. Jimmy Rivera defeated Cody Stamann. What say you?
That was a good fight. I think people kind of tend to overlook Jimmy Rivera, but he's a little tank. I mean, I think he's proven himself that he's just, you know, he's not going anywhere. He's had a streak of losses: Peter Yan, Aljamain Sterling, Marlon Moraes. But I mean, look who he hang on. Look who he's beat: John Dodson, Thomas Almeida. Remember when Thomas Almeida was fire? Uriah Faber, Yuri Alcantara. Remember him, Pedro Munoz. So he's got some pretty decent wins under his belt, and I think people shouldn't overlook him because he was beating the shit out of Peter Yan until he wasn't.
He wasn't, right. That's the story of Jimmy Rivera, right? He beats everyone until he's not, right?
Somebody said that he was Chad Mendes without a house or something kind of like that. I don't remember what they said, but like they said, I know it was kind of mean. I laughed, but it was kind of mean. But, you know, I like Jimmy Rivera. I've always been a fan of him. And, I mean, he's, you know, 31 years old. He still has a couple of years in him.
Well, maybe, right? We'll see what he does. And, of course, we can go back down and weigh. Pam, let's do the up-down report on this one because there was a lot of card and not a lot of action, to be honest. Shout out to Liliana Jujoa. Oh, good Lord. We should have played. We could have played Careless Whisper on that catchweight fight, too. Boy, everyone's a catchweight fight. Let's talk about this one, Pam. Your up-down report. Who goes up? Who goes down?
On this card, I would say definitely Calvin Kattar. How do you say his last name? Kattar?
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 Yeah.
Kattar? Definitely. How can he not go anyplace but up? I think he goes up. I would say for me, like Molly McCann goes down because everybody had expectations that she was just going to beat the mess out of this girl. So Calvin goes up, Molly goes down. But, you know, she can rise back up again.
It's funny that you bring that up because I think obviously major props obviously to Modesta Zukauskas with a very violent TKO in the first. And you know what? How about I'll go up again with Talia Santos. I didn't know she was that good. She really surprised me. I don't think I've ever seen her before. So shout out to Talia Santos defeating Molly.
Hey, doesn't she look like Edson Barboza?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. No, that's not fair.
She does. She's got that pretty face. Yeah, she looked like they could be related. They look like they could be brother and sister. I was like, hold up. Didn't she look like Edson? And everybody's like, oh, yeah, she kind of does. Just like, I'm not saying that she looks like a dude. I'm saying they look alike. They got that same, like, little bedroom eyes and stuff like that. You know, Edson is a pretty man. So he's a pretty girl. Edson is a beautiful man.
Can we report Molly McCann because she's always a huge favorite, but always seems to sort of let me down. I don't know why, Pammy. Pam, let's get out of here. We did the show. Thank God.
Yay!
And of course, I won the week before.
Well, aren't we going to talk about my picks totally suck. Holloway should have won that fight. Who else?
I got them all right. Usman. Volkanovski, Jan, Nama Yunus. Well, let's talk about this one, Pammy. Well, let's talk about this one quickly. Let's talk about Alexander Volkanovski versus Max Holloway because I saw Max Holloway winning three straight rounds. Unless I was dreaming, that's what I saw. So what'd you see there?
I saw the same, too. I saw definitely Volkanovski took the last round, definitely. The fourth round was close, but Max had those first three, and I was like, well, you know, hold up. When they said, man, I was totally expecting and knew, and I'm like, what? I totally didn't agree. Jose Aldo, I love Jose Aldo. He needs to retire. He needs to stop.
I don't think he needs to retire, but I don't think he's at that caliber any longer, right? I think it's sad because I think we all have our time, right? Whatever. Well, maybe not you and I because we didn't fight professionally.
But he's not leg kick Aldo anymore, you know?
Yeah, and maybe Michael's right about his leg injury. I don't know. You know, Proteus also brought up the fact that Jose Aldo wasn't Jose Aldo. This was a couple of years ago. Pam, let's do a quick up-down report on the UFC 251 because I did enjoy this card. My up report goes to Amanda Eva. Shout out to her. My down report goes to PVZ, not the way to go out when you're, but I think she'll land. at Bellator, hopefully. So that's my up-down report for this card. Pammy, your up-down report for UFC 251.
Oh, my gosh. Report goes to Yuri Prochazka. Is that how you say his name? That KO of Volkan Ozdemir was phenomenal.
And he
that
fights so weird, huh?
Totally insane. Down report, I don't want to say Paige VanZant because she's out of here. Who is my down? You know what? I really don't think that I have a down. You know what? I got to say, I'm sorry. As much as it breaks my heart, Jose Aldo, I can't. I feel for him. I don't think he's ever going to be...
Not Jessica Andrade, huh?
No, because that was a kick-ass fight they did. That was a great fight. That was a totally great fight. No, and she still has... You know, she's still moving up, but Jose, I don't think he gets another title shot. He can't, but that was a great card. It was a great card.
Well, listen, if they keep giving... if they keep giving Joseph Benavidez... And Holly Holm.
Oh, maybe that's because they need
Holm,
to put
right.
They need to put Jose Aldo and what's his face, Benavidez together, catchweight championship.
Yeah, why not, right?
Right?
Before we get out of here, Pammy, let's do this. My Twitter follow of the week will be @Ariana_Lipsky. Shout out to her. My guilty pleasure. I'm not even going to say it because you already got me hooked on that one. Pam, let's go to you. What is your guilty pleasure and your Twitter follow of the week?
Oh, my gosh. You know what my guilty pleasure is. I'm too embarrassed to even say, so we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I've never seen that before.
And you know what? Let's give old Montel Jackson a follow because he is fun. And he was so much fun on that Charlotte card when he came walking out to Whitney Houston. I think it was like some crazy Whitney Houston song, and then left to This Is How We Do It. It's Friday night. So Montel Jackson, follow him.
And we follow him at Montello 135 for Montel Jackson. This is how we do it, Pam. We follow Proteus, my right hand man, at @PROADOS. We follow Marco. We missed him this week. At @MaldoMarco. We follow Pam at @PandoraBox with double X. And we follow me at @I'm DJ Tony. Follow the show at another MMA cast or on the IG at @TheAmCast. Pam, rate us and review us.
Yep.
We're on every platform imaginable. You name it, we're on it. Pam, and just like that.
Out of here. Bye.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.